This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, The Therapy Group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving, Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks.
Welcome back to another episode of Shrink Chicks.
Take a seat on our virtual therapy couch and get ready to learn all about, well, you.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're both licensed marriage and family therapists and relationship experts. We're the owners and founders of The Therapy Group, a nationwide psychotherapy practice with down-to-earth therapists just like us.
Your session is starting, so get ready to know yourself and grow yourself.
Hi, Jen.
Hey, Em.
How are you?
So tired. How are you?
We're just like getting on. Jen's PMSing. I'm exhausted because it's we're recording on President's Day. My daughter didn't have school. I've had her out literally all day. And the funniest part is that a week ago we were in Jamaica and it was lovely. And now is like, don't you feel like we came back from Jamaica and it was like 24/7 work?
Was it? Yes. And that's, you know, I think that's what happens when you go on vacation.
I think that's true.
Work really piles up on you. We escaped for a little and now we're back at it. Do we want to talk about just quickly like the Jamaica experience that we had? I just think it's a really good story. And I think maybe we should share it if you're feeling up to it.
So we decided, we're like, oh, our business is going to turn 10 this year, a decade. How exciting. We're going to go to Jamaica. We've never used a credit card point ever. So we book our flights on a credit card points. We get a wonderful adults only all inclusive. I mean, we've been counting down for probably 60 days every day for the past 2 months. I had texted Jen and was like 30 days. 29 days. We're like every fucking morning. Okay. So the week before we left, I was like feeling kind of sick. Millie had been sick. But then by the time it came, I felt fine. Yeah. Until about 3.5 days into the trip. Let me tell you, though, those 3.5 days were amazing.
They were.
And then I woke up and I was like, man, I don't feel good. But we had been like drinking and smoking and stuff. Yeah. And like we smoked a cigarette, which like both of us, we're both like, it's from the cigarette. Right?
Yeah.
We were like, that's what's happening.
Why did we even make that decision?
We didn't know it was a cigarette. No. We thought it was weed.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
That's why.
It wasn't a decision.
Because that is what I'm willing to smoke. But so, okay, we're in Jamaica. All right. It was Bob Marley's birthday. Okay. So,
which we did not plan.
Which we didn't plan. So we wake up and I'm like, oh, I really don't feel well. But I'm like, oh, I must just be hungover. I really rarely drink. But we had been drinking a lot. So I was like, oh, it must be that I'm hungover. I was like, let's go to the gym and the sauna and we're going to sweat this out. That's what we're going to do. We're in the gym. And I'm in my head. I'm like, I'm going to die. I'm going to die.
You looked like you were going to die.
I was not well. You were running.
I don't know why.
I am not
confused
feeling well.
About that decision.
I'm going like a 2 and I am like not doing well. So then I was like, let's just go lay by the pool. And as we're by the pool, I am like in my head, I'm like, I am very sick. But I also like didn't want to admit it to myself.
Or you.
Because we're like on this trip and I'm so excited. And like, I don't know. I was just like, maybe it'll go away. And then probably we hit like 2 o'clock and I was like, I'm pretty at this point. What did I even say? I was just like, I'm sick, right? Like,
well, also, I think you were having trouble breathing through your nose and then you were having trouble swallowing. Like, it was getting bad. And
that was the swallowing.
And at one point, I turned to Em and I said, are you being honest about how bad you feel? And she was like, no, I'm not. So we end up going to the nurse.
They have a nurse at the resort. So like they had this nurse. I was like, will you come down to the nurse with me? So we go in. She seems pissed that we're there, but she ended up being lovely. But at first I was like, oh, fuck. So we go through everything. She looks at my throat, but she's like, oh, it's also like, right? Like, it's like, you know, like you're in a different country and it's just like a different cultural experience, right? So like, yes. She can't find the flashlight to look at my throat. She can't find the thermometer. She's looking through like the dirty pencil holder for the thermometer. And I'm like, oh my God, my fever was like 102.5.
Wasn't great.
Wasn't great. She looks at my throat and she was like, oh yeah, you have laryngitis and an upper respiratory infection. And so they're like, they telehealth this doctor who's like clearly in a convertible up a hill. Nobody can understand each other. Everyone's on speakerphone. It is a shit show. And she's like, all right, we're going to give you an antibiotic, Augmentin. Great. We know what that is. And then she says this other medicine. She's like, we're going to give this to you. It's like immediate pain relief. And both of us were like, what is it? So Jen's like, hey, what's that called? How do you spell that? So Jen's on her phone and I see Jen's facial expression sort of change. And I'm like, this is good. Wait, can I tell the other part, which is that we had taken edibles?
Shit.
So we're like in this perplexed situation, I'm going to call it. And so Jen's face sort of changes and I'm like, I feel like there's something weird about this medicine, right? So I walk over and I was like, hey, did you Google that? And she was like, it's banned everywhere. It says banned US, UK, Canada.
Banned so many different places. So I'm like ferociously Googling because Emily looks like she's like ready to take this. Okay. I, of course, start getting dizzy and feel like I'm going to pass out because this the weight of this decision is way too big for me to stay conscious for. So I'm Googling. I'm like, listen, I got to go lay down. I lay down on a bench outside. I'm continuing to Google. 2 minutes later, Emily comes out and she's like, yeah, I did it. Took the shot. I'm like, okay. She's like, am I going to die? I said, probably not.
The best part is they're like, right, so they're like putting the shot in. She like pulls back this curtain of this like dirty kind of bed. And I was like, honestly, just shove it in my leg. It's fine. Like, I'm like, just put it in my thigh. It's fine. As she's putting it in, she's like, man, I should have worn my glasses for this. And I've hit a point where I'm like, this is it for me. And I'm fine with that. Like, I'm like, this is how we go out. Tell my daughter I love her. It's fine. Use it for content. I'm like, just please make something off of my
nephew. Literally, I was picturing, right, like if this led to your death, God forbid, that I would be holding this weight of like, yeah. I did not Google fast enough. I didn't make this, you know, like it was like the weight of the world was on my shoulders.
Well, and the best part, we both were like, wow, if Nikki was here or if my husband was here, they would. There's no effing way they would have let me do this.
No chance.
Where I was like, get out the room. I'm doing this. But yeah. Let me tell you something. 15 minutes later, how'd I look?
Incredible.
15 minutes later.
New person.
I was like 50% better at least. My throat totally goes down. I can breathe again. I mean, I don't know how I wouldn't have been able to get on the flight in the condition I was in. I was like $1 million. And then my theory is that the U.S. has just banned anything helpful because right. This was so damn effective. What is the name of this? I don't know, but I'm going to start smuggling it in. Smuggle this drug is? And the woman was like, I give this to my kid. I was like, okay.
Sounded good to me. And like, who cares that you grew a third arm?
I ended up dying with. I showed Jen this message. I messaged my doctor on the portal, and I'm like, "Here's what I took. Am I gonna grow another hand or something?" And my doctor was like, "Probably not, but
time will tell.
Time will tell.
But all is well."
But that was story of Jamaica. So you listen. After 10 years, of course, I wanted the trip to be perfect, and instead, it was real. Which I think speaks to our experience of running a business for 10 years.
Oh my God, what a beautiful wrap right. up. Of
like,
that.
I do think that that goes together and it really goes into black and white thinking, dichotomous thinking, which we're going to talk about today, which it would have been really easy for me to walk away from that trip and say, that was horrible. I got so sick. But instead, I was like, you want to know what? I would have rather been sick in Jamaica without having to parent or work. Instead, I just hung out at a cabana with 102 fever. And I read an amazing book, and so did you.
We had a great time. We had such a good time. I'm so sorry you were sick, but it's true. And it really is very reflective of our journey in this business. Is that
life,
I think,
right?
And life, right. I think so often you think about something as, oh, this is going to be great. This is what this looks like. This is my expectation of it. And, you know, I don't think it necessarily matched what our expectation was, but it was such an incredibly real trip. And it was so amazing. I couldn't have asked for anything better, you know, minus you being sick.
I think here's the other thing, right? So like at one point, one of the reasons why I wasn't telling you the truth because like I was experiencing grief, right? Like I was like, we have waited so long for this trip and I am sick. And one, I had this guilt about you because the one night I was like, I have to go to bed. Like the night before I ended up going to the nurse, I was like, I have to go to bed. And you are like walking around the resort yourself, eating cookies. Jen fell in love with these cookies. How many cookies did you eat?
I couldn't get enough. I don't know. I just could not get enough. I mean, listen, all inclusive. Everything I ate, I was like, it's free. It's free.
I can't be like, it's not free. We've paid for all this. Jen ate like 50,000 cookies, or she fell in love with this very specific cookie they had there. I woke up at one point every like hour, I would sort of wake up and be like, where is she? So I was having this massive amount of guilt. And I was sort of like, right, like, so there's part of me, we talk about this idea of black and white thinking. There was a part of me that was like, oh, I'm ruining this trip for Jen. I'm ruining this trip. And
little
Jen's
did you know, I'm shoveling cookies in my mouth.
And then it turns out she's vibing, sitting on our balcony, eating cookies, listening to music.
I'm an independent lady.
She's an independent lady. But I think that when you have these high expectations, it's very hard to not get into the difficulty of language. We use words like always, never, should, shouldn't, right? So if I had said to myself, I always get sick. I never am able to hang out the way Jen does. I shouldn't have, right? If you have a hard time seeing positives in a situation, you often look at the downsides, even with potential opportunities. You won't try something unless you're confident you can do it perfectly. You have a hard time receiving feedback, positive or constructive. And stuff like small mistakes can make you feel like a total failure. Like these are all examples of signs of black and white thinking. And I think we've talked a lot about, a few weeks ago, we had the episode on imposter syndrome. This is a very similar thing. If you have unbelievably high standards for yourself, or for others, you may find that you really are involved in this black and white thinking. And then we can't forget social media and political stances and how divided our country has been. And much of that is from difficulty having nuanced thinking.
Yeah.
If you listen to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high-quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready-to-eat meals, kids' snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you.
Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blueland products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blueland proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner, were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blueland is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packaged. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, a lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon. Or you can choose fragrance-free. Blueland has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
It takes us right into our first question. Where does black and white thinking come from? Someone said, where's black and white thinking come from? Childhood, LOL.
We're therapists, so we do believe that.
But black and white thinking shows up in a bunch of different places. And you may experience black and white thinking at certain times and not at other times. For example, it's common when you're feeling anxious or depressed. So when you have anxiety and depression, it's common for people to think in absolutes. So more extreme emotions can cause black or white thinking to become worse. So if you're someone who experiences anxiety, experiences depression, it might be the case that your black and white thinking is heightened during those times. Other common places is if you have a personality disorder, narcissism and borderline personality disorder, it shows up. Mm-hmm. Also, it's common with someone who experiences obsessive compulsive disorder. So,
and ADHD. ADHD is a big
ADHD,
one too.
Yes. Yes.
Sometimes neurodivergent. Yeah.
It was making me think, Em, are there times where you, like, are there specific places where you experience black or white thinking?
Yes.
Because when I was listening, when I was looking at this, I was like, oh yeah, I guess when I am feeling anxious or depressed, my black or white thinking is heightened.
I think anytime you're working on our website, your black and white thinking is
yes.
heightened.
I think that I'm or just in maybe like a flow state.
We're working on business parts. You're like, this is perfect or not perfect. I would do. I think that probably with my history of having eating disorder, body image, It's hard for me to not like something I can get like really overly invested in that I have to really check myself is like letting shit go and not falling into this trap. So with body image is a really big one. But I think for me also motherhood. Sometimes I feel like a good mom or a bad mom.
One category or another category.
Which is bullshit, right?
Of course.
But like, don't you think part of that is like our patriarchal society that tells women they're like, you're a mom or a whore, Madonna or the whore complex, right? Like,
yeah.
Like you're, yes. Right? Like you're like, you're a good girl or you're a bad girl. Like, what the
yes.
fuck? Am I a dog? And then sometimes my dog.
Well, also, I think that as human beings, we put ourselves into categories where categories are helpful for us in order to like place people and place ourselves. And so I think sometimes that's the way that we make meaning of the world and the way that we make meaning of other people in order to say, okay, do I connect with this? Do I not connect with this? And so I think our brain naturally puts people and things into categories in order to understand them better, but which I think in certain ways it can help us understand people, but in other ways, I think it hurts us because, you know, for example, let's say you, I don't know, meet a new person and they're having a really terrible day, and because they're having a terrible day, they're dismissive towards you or they're not warm, and so you see them and you're like, I don't like that person. Like they're not a nice person, right? They immediately go into this category for you as opposed to thinking about, well, what are the nuances around that? Mm-hmm. Maybe that person had a bad day. Maybe they're struggling with something. I like to do this. When I'm driving, I probably said this before, but I was driving Nikki home from the Westchester office once and someone cut us off And I think like our immediate reaction just as human beings is like, oh, that person's such an asshole, right? And so my response to that, which is something I've really had to work on over the years, is they have their own demons.
Yeah. Okay. So let's say it this way. So we did a speaking event on Thursday. Awesome women, super, super involved. It was really great. And it was our first in-person speaking event since COVID, we realized.
Yeah.
So much shit's been virtual. So like that was sort of funny. So we both were pretty anxious beforehand. Also, when you speak to a group of people, you never really know how it's going to go.
Yeah.
Like it could be awesome or it could be like it hits with some people or other people would be like, oh, I hate them. Especially when you're talking about stuff as like sensitive as the subjects that we talk about.
Yeah.
In terms of relationships, like you really never know how it's going to hit. And so the funny part is, I think afterwards we were on a little bit of a high because it ended up being really successful and people were really into it and, you know, coming up the end, talking to us, whatever. So afterwards we're like, oh, we did so good. But like if we hadn't done that, we hadn't gotten that feedback, we would have left being like, oh, we failed that.
Yeah.
And so there is this thing of like sometimes it feels like other people are the way we track it.
Yeah, other people's like reactions to us.
Yes, sorry, that's what I meant. Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, like that it dictates where we place ourselves in our own mind.
Well, and it's funny because these two women came up at the end and they're like, oh my gosh, like we aren't like really, because some people were talking a lot and some people aren't. You never know, you always know how it goes. And these women came up at the end and was like, oh, like that was really amazing. We're not big sharers, but like we were both having huge light bulb moments. And I had watched these two women while we were speaking and thought like, oh, they hate this.
Oh. See, I saw those people and I was like, oh, that's me.
That you were like, that's an introvert. Because I'm the girl that's like,
yeah, not yet. And so, you know, I was thinking back to, you know, an experience. I had Jules, who we had on the podcast. When I went to her talk at the Psychotherapy Networker, I was having this like mind-blowing experience. Mm-hmm. Everything that she was saying was hitting. I didn't speak one time. You know, all I was doing was like texting you and saying how amazing it was.
Okay, but how many people were in that room?
Yeah, definitely more, but it wasn't an absurd amount more.
Yeah,
and
it wasn't
I was
like 100 people.
No, and I was kind of in the front too, but it's. I think, you know, from your perspective, someone who's extroverted, someone who would speak up, if you're saying someone who wouldn't speak up, maybe the thought is, oh, well, because they're not speaking up, that means it's not hitting for them.
I would say I haven't spoken at the Psychotherapy Networker since Esther Perel yelled at me. So
I remember that. But let me say something. What bravery a girl has to raise their hand at Esther Perel. So I don't care. But she took what you said out of context.
She wasn't looking at me. She missed my air quotes.
I know. So, you did air quotes. It was a whole thing.
She didn't see it.
That should not deter you from speaking up again. I have not spoken up since.
I'm like, I learned my lesson.
It is so nuanced because if you're someone who speaks up, who typically raises their hand before Esther Perel wounded you, okay, then you might look at someone who's not raising their hand saying, oh, this must not be hitting for them because I only raise my hand when it's hitting for me.
Yes.
When I look at people who aren't raising their hand, I'm like, oh, they're introverted.
So the whole time we were doing that talk on Thursday, did you feel great about it?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay.
It didn't, people not speaking up didn't make me feel like it wasn't hitting for them because I understand what it's like to be affected by something and not speak up about it. So did I think it was great? I don't know, but I knew that it was hitting for at least some people, which made me assume that it was hitting for the people who weren't speaking up.
So that's hard for me because I went to a place of like in my head, right? Talking about all or nothing thinking. I was like, if it's not hitting for everyone, we failed tonight.
Oh.
That's fucked.
Right. I was like, oh, it's hitting for a few people. We crushed it.
Yes, but you have admittedly have much lower expectations than I do.
100%. I love to set my expectations low.
Yeah. Okay, so So, right. So once again, so why is it so easy to fall into this pattern? It helps us like figure some shit out, right? Like if I win, I'm good. If I lose, I'm bad. Like we're trying to figure out who we are in this world.
Someone said, and this connects to what we're talking about, how to get over black and white thinking. It can feel safe because there's a certain correct answer. And I think that that's very poignant to say that it is. There's a safety factor in it, right? If I can say, oh, I'm a complete failure in this, right? Then I get to decide what I do with that. Right. It's easy for me to say, oh, this is the answer. And so I can make a decision based off that. Mm-hmm. As opposed to if I'm like, oh, this hit for some people, didn't hit for other people. What the hell am I supposed to do with that? Right. You know, how do I navigate that? What does that look like? There's so many nuances to that and it makes it more complicated. So I think, once again, the reason why we place people in categories is so that there is a safety and there is an answer and there is some sort of control that we can have. But it creates a level of rigidity in our minds, right? There's no flexibility there. And I think it leads us to self-blame, criticism. And that's where it ends up being complicated and difficult, is falling into that black or white thinking. Even though it might feel safe, there's a rigidity about it that might keep us stuck and keep us being hard on ourselves.
You want to talk about social media for a second?
Sure.
This is huge on social media.
Yeah.
It's one of the biggest issues there is.
And okay, I have a theory about why it's so big on social media, right? That like people want an answer.
Yeah, of course.
They want a quick answer. And you're not going to get any likes, followers from saying, well, this happens sometimes and doesn't happen other times.
This is why we can't actually get that big on Instagram.
Because people ask us, we can't make definitive answers because everyone is different. Every situation is different. There's so much context that social media doesn't highlight. But the things that get the most following, the most likes, the most shares are the things that say very definitive statements about the world. Mm-hmm. They're very polarized statements about the world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we refuse to do that.
Which is why we do a podcast and don't do social media, right? Like, I mean, like one of the big reasons we decided to do a podcast was long form content.
Yeah.
Which social media isn't.
Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14 karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look, because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
But let's talk about this, right? So like how to get over black and white thinking, because that's what everyone actually wants to know.
Yeah.
So first of all, you have to identify it. So once again, the skill is words like always, never, should, shouldn't, bad, good, healthy, unhealthy, right? Like any of these things, like that's going to be very dichotomous thinking. And at first, you're going to have to identify it. And then you're going to have to try to get some perspective. What are the chances that I am the worst mom in the world? right? This happened. I talked about this on someone else's podcast. Maybe it's not ours. At the beginning of the year, we had to send in a family picture. Right? Was this on our podcast or someone else's?
I have no idea. You're asking the wrong person.
We're asking the wrong sister. So we had to send in a photo, for a family photo, and they were supposed to like present it to their class during circle time or something. I put this photo in a pocket in Millie's backpack. And for whatever reason, she couldn't find it before this. So she comes home and she said, "You forgot to send my photo. You didn't send my family picture. I was the only one who didn't have a family picture." I'm crying. Like, I am like, oh my God. But then I'm like, wait a second. I put it in the damn thing. Nobody found it. But I felt like, oh man, I like embarrassed my daughter and she was at class alone and feeling upset. And I like totally have this thing of like, oh, I should have put it in a better spot. I should have told her where I was putting it. I should have like, you know, attached it to a fucking balloon and flew it out of her bag. Right. I should have paid for a carrier pigeon to deliver it. And it was so hard in that moment to not think like, oh, I am a guard. Like all these other moms in this class are so much better than me. Now, if you're to say this idea of get some perspective, just statistically, just like out of the billions of people in the world, seems highly unlikely that I am the world's worst.
Yes.
just a numbers game, right?
Absolutely.
And so when we talk about like get some perspective, like zoom out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And think about the sentence and the thoughts that you're actually saying. How true could they feel? I know they feel true. And this is when we get to the moment of feelings are not facts. Feelings are not facts.
Yes.
Even if they feel very real. And then once you get that perspective, I want you to think about trying to reframe your unhelpful thoughts. Mm. I don't think I'm the world's worst mom, but I guess Millie was bummed. And in the future, I will make sure that if I'm saying something important, I'm going to tell her where it is in her backpack.
You know, as you were talking, I was also thinking about the ways that this plays out in our relationships, right? If our partner's doing something that, you know, bothers us or is an issue for us, how we might say, you never come home on time. You always say this or do this. Listen, admittedly, I hear these words come out of my mouth. And when I am doing it, I will think to myself, oh no, this is black or white thinking. Like yeah. I can hear it coming out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And when that happens, honestly, I think to myself, is that true? Is it always happening? Because the emotion that attaches to something that bothers us or irritates us or upsets us or hurts us in our relationship is so strong, and our minds hold onto that emotion so tightly that every time it happens, every time it gets activated, it feels as if it's always happening.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this level of confirmation bias as every time that it happens, our mind sees it and says, oh, this is always happening. You know, it's happened again. But the thing that our minds are not clocking are the times in which it's not happening, because it's not holding the same weight of emotion as the times in which it is happening. And so if you recognize that this is happening with yourself or this is happening in your relationship, just as the perspective is important to also recognize, well, what are the times in which it's not happening? What are the times in which it proves this to not be true? Because it's going to be really important for you to clock those times too. Once again, if your partner never comes home at the same time that you want them to come home, or they say they're going to come home and you're saying, oh, well, you always say you're going to be home at this time and you're always late. The weight of them being late is going to hold so much more emotion. So anytime that they're on time, you're going to have to hold on to that. And you're going to say, wait, they were on time this time. And mm-hmm. they were on time this time. And here was another time that they were on time. And I'm going to hold on to that so that I can battle my dichotomous thinking, my black mm-hmm. and white thinking when that comes up.
My couples therapist will always say, where's the evidence?
Oof.
Where's the evidence? You're going to make that statement. You better have a lot of data to back it up. And I never do. Kidding. So when I'm like, Aaron is always late to pick up. She's like, he was late three times and you have a complex about it because your mom was late, right? You know what I mean? Like some like obscene thing. And I'm like, okay, you're probably right, right? So perspective.
Yes.
And the other thing I think you should say is, so if you're doing this in your relationships, why? Mm. How self-protective is that? If I tell myself that Aaron is always late, then inevitably, if he is late, then I get to blame it on him. And blame is actually something we love as people. Because if I can blame something, it means there's fault. And if there's fault, it means that the world's not this big, scary place where shit happens all the time. I would much rather it be someone's fault than just the world is tough and shit got crazy today.
Mm.
But also because I hold myself to a completely unrealistic standard that God forbid I was ever fucking late.
Mm.
As you know, that I showed up 30 minutes earlier than I said I was going to when we left for the airport.
Right. Oh, my God. That was also both of us. We're so every time. So Emily and I are both married to people who are not early to the airport. For the most part. I'm sure sometimes they are. Once again, we're talking about black and white thinking. And so I'm sure sometimes they are early. Emily and I are both very early to the airport. Every time I want to go early, my husband will say to me, what are you going to help them clean the plane before everyone gets on? I don't understand. Why do you want to get there so early? But, you know, as we are, Emily and I are on the same page and it eases our anxiety to be early. And so Emily and I met to go to the airport like 3.5 hours early. It was insane.
And we got through security in about 35 seconds. Jen was like, it's going to be so hard to park. She thought we were taking a shuttle. We literally parked like next to the elevator, walked into the airport.
It was so easy.
And we're like at our gate 15 minutes later, we're like, ooh.
Maybe took that a little too far.
Yeah. So let's talk about this one. How to handle repeated and consistent all in our thinking in other ways or my partner. So what if my partner does this?
Hmm. I think saying to them, is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Is it, am I always late? Like, truly, can we talk about that?
Mm-hmm.
I know I keep using, like, lateness for some reason.
The example we're using, I like it.
Feels right.
But, and I think it's hard because when somebody is activated, right, when your nervous system is activated, you probably can't make rational thoughts, right? So if my husband said that to me, is that true, I'm always late? I would say, yeah, it is. Because in my activation, I actually cannot make like a really intentional, conscious thought.
Yes.
I'm just activated. So everything I'm feeling is feeling like a fact. So what you might have to say is, I can see you're really activated. Let's talk about this later. And then is the conversation. Hey, you do this. Here are some ways I do it, right? What we want to do is we want to find a little truth in anything they're saying. You're right. I historically have not always been on time. I don't think I'm always late, but I do know historically I've been late sometimes. So what can we do here?
Mm. Beautiful.
But I think that that goes to when somebody is activated. I know we talk about this all the time. Most good things aren't going to come. One of the things my couples therapist says, we should give her some big shout outs today, is connected couples lead to creative solutions.
Mm.
When you're not connected, it is much harder to have more creative solutions.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a lot of sense to me. Mm-hmm. A few people asked, when is black and white thinking okay? Number one, I'm going to say it's natural. That's my first thought is it happens. You know, like it's similar to how we say difficult emotions are going to happen, to like expect it to not happen is, I think, expecting yourself to be robotic in certain ways. But do I think it's ever helpful? I'm going to say no.
Okay.
You're going to give me an example where it is helpful. Tell me. Please okay. Tell me.
So in theory, killing's never okay.
Correct. Right. Okay. Any sort of abuse.
Never. But I don't know, man, if someone's about to kill my kid and I kill them first, or I punch a Nazi, I don't know.
Is that, yeah, I mean, I guess it's right. Is it always okay? So the question is like, is it always okay to punch a Nazi? Yes.
Right.
I hear what you're saying. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. So
guess, are we talking about extreme? Maybe when we talk about extreme experiences.
Yes. Extreme things. Right. So like, when is Black White thinking? I guess you're gonna have to define. Okay. I guess if you have a morality part of you that has some belief, but like, I don't know, even this is the nuance to think about. Even when people talk about like being something like pro-life, I don't know how there can't be exceptions to that.
Yeah.
We're unbelievably pro-choice. But I mean, for that, like, that's, you mean like the fact matters, like shit happens in this life. If a woman's going to die from a pregnancy, wouldn't you think there's an exception to that?
Right.
But I'm very anti-gun. I grew up Quaker, super nonviolent. But then I say to myself, okay, but like, if someone is being attacked, you know what I mean? Like repeatedly abused by some, I don't know. Like, I just feel like there's so much shit that happens.
Yeah.
And I think we can like say with our morality, but I also think it's a really great way to not see other people.
Yeah.
If I participate in Black and White thinking, even for people I strongly disagree with, it's like, it's almost like I like the idea that I'm right and they're wrong.
Yeah. Well, also, like, we are incredibly pro-choice. And I understand why people think, you know what I mean? From like a religion, like a very, if they're like very religious, I'm not saying I agree with it, but I understand why people might believe that from their own perspective.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If you don't watch me, I'm like, eh. But yes, no. I think especially like if you grew up, right? Or you have had, you know what I mean? Like, I think about this. A lot of people, I've gotten a lot of questions before, like, because of your infertility, doesn't that make you less pro-choice? I'm like, no, it actually makes me more pro-choice. But I could understand how somebody could not have that reaction to it, right?
Right.
And so I think it is such, but here's the thing. Because of our job, we get to meet so many different people. And some of those people believe in different things that we do. And we can still love and appreciate those people. And that's where this is really, really complex and very nuanced. And I think for so many people over, you know, let's say since 2016, when the world's really been on fire, we've seen so many families cut each other off.
Yeah.
And so many things end. And I get it. Right. Like, I've had people in my life that I'm like, wow, we really don't see eye to eye on certain things.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we're in a situation, especially when we can't talk about it, right? Like, there's certain people that you just like simply can't have a constructive conversation with. It's hard to, it changes how you feel about people. Oh, they must be bad. They must be like a bad person, right? Because they have these beliefs. And that's where it's confusing. Nedra Twab has this, when we went and saw her at the networker, she had the funniest thing where she was like, listen, everyone's been good to someone. So she's like, you know, like you'll see an interview with somebody that was like hiding four hostages in their basement. And their next door neighbor was like, I don't know, they seem great. They over shoveled my sidewalk. So like, I guess he wasn't bad to that person. And so I think that's the thing.
Yeah. You know what? And you did bring up a good point. I think as therapists, we have the privilege of seeing like the inner workings of people's minds. And it really helps with understanding the nuances of situations to be able to get that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it helps me to see, once again, if someone's having a hard day or if someone's active, to really think about, well, what's going on inside of them that might be affecting what's going on, right? Like, or how they're acting. But I do think part of that might be because we have the privilege of being therapists and hearing people's stories and understanding how their stories have led them to where they are today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not everyone gets that privilege in their job or, and so I think for us, it almost feels, it feels easier in a way to be like, oh, wait. You know, like there is so much backstory here. Everyone else is struggling with something that we know nothing about, because we are hearing the inner workings of people's stories and how they got to where they are over and over and over again. And so for those of you who aren't therapists who are listening to this, to hold that in your mind in every interaction that you have, I think is really important. to be able to say, oh, maybe that person wasn't friendly today because they had a hard day or they're going mm-hmm. through something. You know, when people, you know, if I talk to my husband, he's like, oh, like this person, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's so quick that I'm able to say, well, like, you don't know what that person was going through. But I don't think it comes as naturally when you're in different professions or, and maybe I'm wrong, but it just, I think that we are always listening to other people and other people's stories, even if we maybe don't have the same experiences or we might think about things in a different way. Like, it's when we're listening to other people and how it's led them to where they are, it helps kind of gain this understanding of who they are and develop this level of empathy for where they are and what's going on for them and how it's affecting every part of their world. It creates so much nuance and an understanding of that nuance. So that's what I would say is like being able to hold on to that piece is that everyone comes from somewhere and they're dealing with something that you might not know anything about.
Mm-hmm. Dear Em and Jen.
Let's do it.
Dear Em and Jen, my husband is very much a black and white thinker. If something goes wrong with our house in particular, something breaks, things cost more money than expected, etc., he thinks our house is the worst and he hates it here and wants to move. I don't share this perspective, but his influence at times causes me to sway in this direction. Then we are both negative. How do I help my partner overcome this and try to be as positive as possible when something goes wrong in our home? Was this written by my husband?
Mine too. Did my husband also write this? Did they get together
this and write this together? This is some shit I do. I'll be like, this house is a shithole.
Oh, I was going to say, this is what my husband does. You guys are the same. I'm married to the same person.
Yes, you are. It's because Bill is me. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, well then. Tell me what to do.
I'll tell you what to do. I think that sometimes, and you can tell me if this doesn't feel right for you because you experience this. Sometimes the black and white thinking, when you go into like, this is the worst, I hate this, it's almost the top layer of a deeper emotion of something mm-hmm. else that's going on. So it's possible that your husband might have a harder time expressing maybe something more vulnerable that they're experiencing. And because of that, it is playing out in his interactions with the house and his environment. Because the environment is something that it feels like, oh, I have control over this. And if I don't have control over this, it's going to open up space for me to be vulnerable to everything else that I'm experiencing right now. Is that hitting for you at all?
Yeah. I think when it brings me back to this idea of also like distress tolerance skills. Like if I'm in a place of highly distressed situation, it is really easy for me to go into this. So the other question I would have is, how is this person's distress tolerance skills? Is that something for them to be working on? And how easily activated? And then how do they deactivate themselves, right?
Yeah.
And then for you to also say, my partner's going through something right now.
Yes.
I know this is overwhelming. I'm going to walk away and have to decide for myself how I feel.
Yes. So I was going to ask you, Em, like when you're going through that, what's helpful for you? Like what helps you?
I have to walk away. So for me, okay, so I can get really overwhelmed if our house is really messy and we have a child and the two huge fucking dogs, it happens. So for me, I am very, very fortunate that I'm able to have a place in my home that I keep very clean and organized. Not everyone has that situation. But for me, it's I have to walk away, go for a walk, calm myself down. I cannot leave for him to calm me down because then I end up resenting and angry at him and it causes a fight. But I have to essentially put myself in time out until I come down and then I can think it through. Okay, my house is not a complete shithole, but it feels messy and overwhelming. Do we need a different system for the house? Mm-hmm.
So essentially what you're saying is it isn't this person's responsibility to take care of your partner's emotions in that moment.
Yes.
And it is your responsibility to make sure that you create a level of kind of emotional boundaries so that you don't get sucked into it.
Yeah.
So that you can take care of yourself while your partner is going through that. For you to be able to separate yourself, take care of you, because what your partner is going through is something that they're going to have to navigate. And I think something you could say is like, hey, I hear you. I hear you're having a tough time, right? How can I support you? Is there any way I can support you in this? Mm-hmm. And They might have an answer. They might not. And it might be important to have this conversation, too, when they're not activated. Hey, mm-hmm. I recognize that you're, you know, sometimes when you've had a hard day, like, you know, the house is, it's really hard for you to be in the house if it's messy, blah, blah. Is there anything like we can do together during that time that will be helpful for you? Or can we talk about like what this looks like, you know, when you're going through it? Is there a way we can tackle this as a team? If not, you know, like, is there a way that you can take care of yourself? Like, what's going to find some sort of, as Em said earlier, creative solution? Connected couples. What is it? Is
it connected couples can have figure out creative solutions or something.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode of Shrink Chicks.
We'll see you back here next Monday for another session.
In the meantime, if you want a question answered or a topic discussed, follow us on Instagram at Shrink Chicks. And if you're looking to get connected with a therapist like us to start or continue your therapeutic journey, visit thetherapygroup.com. Just fill out a contact form on our website and we will personally match you with one of our amazing therapists.
Also, if you'd be so kind, we'd love a rating review and for you to share with a friend or an enemy or a mother-in-law. Honestly, whoever needs it, so that we can keep reaching more people on our mission to bring mental health topics to your ears every week.
Thanks for being here with us. And don't forget to grow yourself. You gotta know yourself.